Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Like Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. And we have a bit of an Irish theme going this evening, which I'll come on to a little bit later on. But let's start with a very fine overture, one of the most popular operas of the Victorian age. It's Maritana by Vincent Wallace, an Irishman, but we'll come on to that connection a little later on. Maritana was first produced in 1845, and like two other equally famous Victorian operas, Julius Benedict's Lily of Killarney and Balfe's The Bohemian Girl, these operas were plundered, and that's not a poor word to use, really. They were plundered for the wonderful ballads they contained, and all the concert singers, including many that came here and right into the 20s, 30s, even up to the Second World War, sung these wonderful ballads, and we'll hear one or two of them during the programme. Anyway, we need an overture to start the programme. Vincent Wallace's overture to Maritana.
Thank you.
A very fine overture there by Vincent Wallace for his opera Maritana of 1845. Another little piece with an Irish connection next, a piece of British light music, really, by Peter Hope. It's from his Ring of Kerry suite. It's called The Jaunting Car. I have played this piece before. It's absolutely delightful. But I thought I'd play it again with a little bit more background to it. I was watching a programme about the lost railways of mainly Northern Ireland. Delightful programme. A lot of these old railways, I mean, they've all been taken up now, most of them. They're now sort of green roads or cycle tracks, or some of them are almost lost in the countryside. But once upon a time, there was a whole network of wonderful steam railways all over Northern Ireland. And at one point, they were saying, well, one particular railway line, the station was miles from the town which it was supposed to serve, and they used to have a little horse-drawn cart to take people from the station to the town. And these horse-drawn carts, they probably hold five or six people, were called jaunting cars. Now, I'd always thought a jaunting car was just a car, a bit of an old banger maybe, wobbling down a country lane or whatever. But it was actually a horse-drawn conveyance. So, let's put that right. Let's hear it now. Peter Hope's Jaunting Car. A charming piece there, Peter Hope's Jaunting Car from his Ring of Kerry suite. Now, why the music of Ireland, why this week particularly? Well, I'm going to name drop here shamelessly, but never mind. Just the other week, I had a delightful lunch with Charles Gard, with whom I lunch quite often, as often as we can during the year. And but he had a very special guest with him, Professor Una Hunt, from Dublin. Now, it was, I say, it was a delightful lunch, and we talked about all sorts of things to do with music and one thing and another, and eventually got on to the subject of Irish music and music influenced by Irish traditional music, of which Professor Hunt is an expert. In fact, it would take me 20 minutes simply to read out her accomplishments. First of all, she's a renowned concert pianist of European fame. She's an author of more books than I can count. She's a broadcaster. She has made recordings. She is an honorary professor at University College Dublin and a professor of music at the Techno University in Dublin. She was a most entertaining dinner guest. And as I say, the topics ranged far and wide. She's a leading authority on Irish music and has completed an archive of all of Moore's Irish melodies, as well as writing books about the harp and various aspects of Irish music. She is a leading authority, extremely accomplished. As a pianist, she gave the first performance in recent times of Moscheles' Recollections of Ireland, a piece which we'll come to later in the programme, a wonderful piano piece by the sort of Prague-born German composer, contemporary of Beethoven and Mendelssohn. We'll come on to that. Now, Professor Hunt this year had produced a concert version of one of Vincent Wallace's operas, not Maritana this time, but Lurline, the daughter of an underworld king, Rheinberg, who lived in a grotto beneath the Rhine. It's a very complicated story. There simply isn't time to go into it. But it's a really interesting opera, and it's not as well known as it should be. Well, hopefully that's all going to change. I thought I'd play an aria from Lurline for you, just to give you an idea of what we've all been missing all these years. This is an aria called The Night Winds. It's sung by Deborah Riedel with the Australian Opera and Ballet Orchestra, conducted by Richard Boninge. And I think this is a lovely, lovely piece. So, from Vincent Wallace's Lurline, The Night Winds.
Yeah.
from Vincent Wallace's opera Lurline, the aria of Lurline, The Night Winds, beautifully sung there by Deborah Riedel. Now, I mentioned the music of Ignaz Moscheles, a composer who I very much admire. His piano concertos are absolutely wonderful, not mere sort of virtuosic showpieces with very little of interest going on in the orchestra or anywhere else for that matter. A wonderful composer, very underrated, and in the first part of the 19th century, he was simply generally acknowledged to be the supreme pianist composer. So his music predates Chopin and the concerto of Mendelssohn. He was very much influenced by Hummel. He had been a pupil of Salieri in Vienna, and in fact had been his deputy conductor at the opera. I might have to do a bit more about Moscheles in a later programme. He did write a symphony and much else as well, but it's the piano music that we're most interested in. Now, Professor Hunt, as I say, gave the first performance in recent times of what is in effect a four-movement sort of concertino entitled Recollections of Ireland for piano and orchestra. And I'm going to play two movements. They're all movements are quite short, but I'm just going to play two movements this evening and hope that the CD player behaves itself, because occasionally when you get four movements, some of which could be linked, the CD player here in our studio makes a sudden cut-off, which is a bit alarming. We hope that doesn't happen, and if it does, it doesn't spoil the enjoyment. So we're going to hear, first of all, the second movement, Andante's Sostenuto Espressivo, based on the tune The Groves of Blarney, and then a finale, St. Patrick's Day. The pianist this evening is Howard Shelley with the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra. This is two movements then from Recollections of Ireland by Ignaz Moscheles.
Thank you.
Two movements from Ignaz Moscheles' Recollections of Ireland, Opus 69, written in 1826, and very popular it proved to be. Apparently, Moscheles and his party had an absolutely shocking journey from Holyhead across to Dublin, and in fact, at one point they thought they were all going to be lost at sea. So this piece is partly kind of a thank you for his safe deliverance in Ireland, and also a thank you to the Irish people and the concert promoters there for the wonderful reception he received there. Needless to say, it became a very popular piece, and it's extremely entertaining. You know, why do you always have to have Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto or whatever? Why can't we have something of Moscheles? His piano concertos are really entertaining, particularly that one, of course, and it'd be wonderful to hear it. I look forward at some stage to hearing Professor Una Hunt's own recording, perhaps, of this wonderful piece, and I thank her most sincerely for bringing it to my attention. I did know about Moscheles, but I had no idea he'd written this wonderful piece. So, back to the music of Finzi. Now, we heard three very short pieces of Gerald Finzi last week. Three short soliloquies from the incidental music he wrote for a production of Shakespeare's Love's Labour's Lost in 1946, if I remember correctly. Let's hear a slightly longer piece of his now. This is the Severn Rhapsody, and on the title page is a quotation of Rupert Brooke, which I think many of you will know. Oh, yes. Stands the clock at 2:50, and is there honey still for tea? This was written in 1923 in Painswick in the Cotswolds. It's unusual scoring. It's flute and oboe, cor anglais, bass clarinet and string. So it has a rather lush, luxurious, if not lugubrious, sound. So, Gerald Finzi's Severn Rhapsody.
Thank you.
A Severn Rhapsody by Gerald Finzi. There was something about the about George Butterworth, the music of George Butterworth in that piece. Something there reminded me a little bit of On Banks of Green Willow or The Shropshire Lad. Hardly surprising, really. A real piece of sort of English music for strings with just a hint of woodwind there occasionally. Lovely, lovely piece. Right, we need a mood changer, something back into our field of British light music. Here is a piece by Jack Strachey. I've played this many times, probably. He ensured his immortality by composing the song These Foolish Things, but is also remembered for In Party Mood, a catchy little number that became the signature tune for the long-running BBC series Housewives Choice. In fact, so many of his pieces are light and catchy. He could be the king of catchy, really. Theatre Land is another one. This one is Top of the Bill. Jack Strachey, Top of the Bill. Now, we're still vaguely within the realms of British light music, but the composer of this next piece is Rimsky-Korsakov, the famous Russian composer of Scheherazade and much else. Now, I haven't taken leave of my senses. I'm playing this piece partly because, in its own right, it's an attractive piece. It's variations on a theme of Glinka, and it has a prominent oboe solo. Glinka, of course, often thought of as the father of Russian music, the predecessor of Rimsky-Korsakov, Mussorgsky, Tchaikovsky, all the boys in the band, as you might say. Rimsky-Korsakov wrote this piece, his variations, at a time when he was an inspector of military bands. Is there anything that Rimsky-Korsakov didn't do? He was a naval officer at one point, I know that. He also wrote at this time concertos for the clarinet and the trombone as well, and most of them have wind band accompaniment, not surprisingly. as he was an inspector of military bands. However, the English connection with this very Russian piece is the English composer of light music, Philip Lane, who has orchestrated this piece for the recording I'm about to play, for orchestra. Obviously, if it were just an accompaniment for military band, it wouldn't get that many performances, I don't think. Philip Lane was a teacher, a record producer, a composer for television and the concert stage. He wrote the theme music for Captain Pugwash, so we'll remember that, and an overture on French carols, which I've only recently discovered and which I will be including in my Christmas selection later this year. So Philip Lane has arranged this wonderful piece by Rimsky-Korsakov. So I think that's probably as clear as mud. Best thing we can do is to actually hear it. Variations then on a theme of Glinka by Rimsky-Korsakov. The oboist is John Anderson.
Thank you.
Well, a rather odd piece there, a mixture of Rimsky-Korsakov adapted very skillfully, if I may say so, by the English composer Philip Lane. Variations for oboe and military band, or orchestra in that case, on a theme of the Russian composer Glinka. Which brings us to the end of the programme. I hope you've enjoyed my selection. A rather odd programme in some ways. We've ranged through a little bit of British light music, some music influenced, of course, by Irish composers and Irish traditional music. And I'm going to finish, just something to play us out with. We'll hear something more of Moscheles. Here's the opening of his Piano Concerto No. 4 in E minor, a rondo, Allegretto leading to Tempo di Marcia. So, we will hear more of Moscheles in a later programme, I'm sure. Please join me again next Thursday at 9 when we shall have some Handel. A real blast of choral music and something perhaps some of you will not have heard before or not for many years. So, until then, goodbye.